Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 19 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Dalet. In the middle of the line, you will notice a slash mark followed by the words Ibaya Laho. And to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you will notice a shin encircled, a sheila, a long question. On the side in our margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows. Hani shloshi yomim, debohem naase mod. We mentioned in our previous shiur, we saw in the Mishnah, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We also saw Rabbi Yossi Paskins like that in order to establish a shor, an ox, as being mu'ud, as being considered prone to goring, you would have to have testimony to that effect concerning gorings on three separate days. Now, our topic heading makes reference to those 3 days. Aleph, liude tura. O, beis, liude gavra. Is the purpose of the 3 days to establish the animal as being mu'ad, or possibly the owner of the animal is considered mu'ad, is considered prone to irresponsibility, i.e., prone to not watching his animal. We now turn to the Gemara, and we note that we have a long question. Ibaya Laho. The question is raised, Shloisha Yomim Dikotoni, the reference to 3 days in order to establish a mu'ud that was taught in the Mishnah by Rabbi Yehuda. Liude Tura, is it to establish the ox as being mu'ud? And the 3 days means gorings on 3 separate days, to the exclusion of a situation where the animal would have gored 3 times on 1 day. 3 gorings on 1 day would not make it into a shor amud, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But all that the 3 days represents is 3 separate days of gorings. Oy, liude gavro. Or it's possible, the other possibility is that the 3 days is to establish the owner of the ox as being someone that is irresponsible with regard to watching his animal. Lemai nafkamina, what practical difference is there in this analysis? Whether you say that we're establishing the animal as mu'ad, as prone to damage, or liude gavra, or that the owner is prone to being irresponsible. So the Gemara answers, you want to know where there's a practical difference in this analysis? The osut losa kite sadi b'chad yuma, where 3 kite are groups or sets of witnesses. A set of witnesses comprised of 2 witnesses. So you have 3 sets of witnesses that come to testify on 1 day. In other words, they appear on the same day in court, all 3 sets of witnesses, and each one testifies about gorings that took place on separate days. You have 3 sets of witnesses appearing on 1 day in the court, and their 3 testimonies represents gorings that took place on 3 separate days. E amris liude tura miayit. If you say that the goal is to establish the shor, the animal, as mu'ad, then in this scenario, the animal becomes mu'ad. We have testimony about it having gored on three separate days. V'yamris Ludei Gavra, if you say that the 3 days spoken of in the Mishnah is to establish the owner as Mu'ad, what do we mean by the owner as being Mu'ad? That the owner, after being warned about his animal, continued to be irresponsible. And we need three separate days of, we'll say, of warnings, of testimony, to establish that the owner is irresponsible. So if the three sets of witnesses show up on one day, so as far as the owner is concerned, he's only received 1 day of warning. So therefore, lo miyayed. The three witnesses that, three sets of witnesses that show up on 1 day will not establish the owner as being mu'ad. Meymar Omar, the owner will say, hashtahu dekomisadubi. It's only now that I'm hearing about its goring. This is the first time that I'm hearing about the animal's goring. The Rashi says, in the almost halfway down, Rashi says, hashtahu dekomisadubi. Kol shloshten akisos. All three sets of witnesses, bo biyom echad, they came on 1 day. V'hatorah amra shlosh yomim, and the Torah says, in order to establish the owner as being mu'ad, you would need to have 3 days of testimony, which constitutes a warning, three separate warnings on three separate days, not all on 1 day. And this is, of course, based on the gzeres hakosuv that we saw in our previous dapim. My. So the question is, well, how do we classify the need for the 3 days? Is it to establish the animal as mu'ad or the owner as being mu'ad? Ta Shema. Now notice we have a long marking. Ta Shema introduces the attempt to bring in this case, a source to settle the matter. And now this long attempt, you'll see, lasts till the third line from the top of Amud Beis. So what does it say? Ein hashor nase mu'ad ad she'idu bo b'fnei ba'ilim u'b'fnei beisdin. Meaning the shor does not become mu'ad, and when we speak about the shor becoming mu'ad, we mean that after it's established as a mu'ad, then any subsequent goring will result in nezek sholem payment, full damage payment, as opposed to the half nezek rate for an animal before it's established as a mu'ad. So the source tells us that a shor does not become mu'ad until testimony is stated in the presence of the owner and in the presence of the court. Heidu bo b'fnei beisin v'shelo b'fnei ba'ilim. If testimony was stated in the presence of the court, but not in the presence of the owner of the animal, or vice versa, b'fnei ba'ilim v'shelo b'fnei beisdin, or testimony was said in front of the owner, hey, you know, your animal gored, but it wasn't stated in a court. Eino nase mu'ad. The animal will not become mu'ad ad shi'idu bo b'fnei beisdin u'fnei ba'ilim, until the testimony is in front of the court and in front of the owner. He'iduhu shnayim borishona. Two witnesses testified about the first goring. Ushnayim b'shniya, and two concerning the second. Ushnayim b'shlishis, and two witnesses testified concerning the third goring. Hare kan sholosh edios. Vehein edus achas lehazoma. I feel that this line is a bit cryptic, so we take a look at Rashi together. The Rashi that you'll find is a bit more than halfway down the Rashi column, just around the halfway mark plus. Hare kan sholosh edios. She'im botlo achas mehem. If one of these testimonies is refuted or gets canceled, lo botlu hashtayim, the other two testimonies remain intact. Umishalim aleim chatzinezek, and half damages needs to be paid for each one of the other two testimonies that remain. Ve'im lo batla, and if the three testimonies remain intact, they're not refuted or shown to be false, then hare hu muad, the animal will be established as a muad. Ve'hein edu sachas la'soma, Rashi says, hare. Before we read the Rashi, just a word about the term hazoma. Hazoma, maybe you're familiar with it from the term edim zomimim. The Maseches Makos deals with this topic extensively. Edim zomimim is a situation of false testimony, but in a very specific fashion, where two witnesses testify about something, and two other witnesses come and say to the first set, how can you testify about that? In this case, how can you testify about that goring that you claim took place on Aleph Nisan, on the first of the month of Nisan, when you witnesses were with us at that time in another place? So you couldn't possibly have testified, you couldn't have possibly said the testimony concerning that goring. So that's Zohazoma, Edim Zomimim. The punishment that the Torah accords to Edim Zomimim is that whatever they tried to testify, whatever they tried to do to indict the defendant, in other words, if they tried through their testimony to make him pay money, and then they're found to be false through Hazoma, then they have to pay that amount. Whatever they tried to impose on the defendant, they now are punished with that. They have to pay that amount. That is Edim Zomimim. So now we read the Rashi, Vehein Edus Achas Lazoma, Sharei Al Yidei Shloshtan Hu Muad. Through the testimony of all three sets of witnesses, the animal becomes Muad. Hilkoch Edus Achas Hein Lekach. Regarding the establishment of Muad status, they are one unit of testimony. Sheim Nimseis Kas Rishonis Ememes. If the first set of witnesses is found to be false on grounds of Hazoma, Hu Potter Milashalem Al Hanegicha Revius Elochatzi Nezek. For you can, there's another girsa that we have in the Rashi text, Al Hanegicha Shlishis Elochatzi Nezek. If the first set of witnesses is found to be Zoimimim, so then the owner of the animal, when testimony is stated concerning a third actual goring, the owner will be obligated to pay only half nezek. Because once you knock out the first set of witnesses, the next three testimonies concerning gorings require only half damages to be paid. If the first set of witnesses was not found to be zomim but were truthful, then three testimonies, the first, second, and third, the next one after that would require the owner to pay full damages. But since we knocked out the first set, then when that, we'll say that fourth testimony comes about, which in reality is only the third goring, only half damage is paid. That's what's behind the term Vein Edus Achas Lahazoma. We turn back to the Gemara. Nimseis Kas Rishona Zomemes. If the first set of witnesses was found to be false on the grounds of Zomemim, Hare Kan Shtei Edis, you're left with two more testimonies. Vehu Potter Vehein Pturin. When we speak about exemption, the Edim Zomimim are exempt and Pturim. From what? So we look in the Rashi, Pturim, Mitashlume Negicha Shlishis. They are exempt from paying for the status established by the third goring. Even though the first set of witnesses were responsible for causing the owner to pay full damages after the third goring, Pturim, they, that first set of witnesses, are exempt. She'ein ho'edim mishalmin momon ad shi'yazumu kulon. Those first set of witnesses cannot be expected to pay, to participate in paying what they tried to impose, namely nezek sholem, full damage payment, because the hazoma status isn't achieved until all three sets of witnesses would be shown to be zomimim. Only after that can we say that we impose upon them what they tried to impose on the animal's owner. In the meantime, though, we have the first set of witnesses becoming zomimim. So there we say that there are two avios that still remain, and as far as the expectation of paying full damages, that is not going to be the case at this point. Let's continue in the source. Nimseis kashnio zomemes. Let us say that not only was the first set of witnesses shown to be zomemim, the second set of witnesses is also shown to be zomemim. Harei kan edus achas. There remains, though, one set of witnesses that are still honest, we'll say still not shown to be problematic. The who potter of hamturin. As far as the expectation of paying nezek shalem, so not only is the owner exempt, but the witnesses, who tried to make him into, tried to make it into a mud, they're also exempt. As we said before, because the witness obligation to pay full damage as a result of Hazom is only if they're all shown to have been Edim Zomemim. We continue. Nimseis Kashlishi Zomemes. If the third set of witnesses is also found to be false on the grounds of Hazoma, Kulon Chayovin, then all of these witnesses, these three sets of witnesses, are all obligated to pay, we'll say, the second half, the chatzi nezek, of the of the goring, of the third goring. We take a look at Rashi. Kulon chayovin l'shalem hachatzi nezek shel ha'adoas negicha shlishes bein kulam. We saw in one of our previous dapim, Machlokas Abaye and Rava, on at what point is full damage paid. According to the simple reading of this Rashi, upon the third goring, so then full damage payment would be made. The when we analyze, when you look at that third goring and you say that now full damage will be paid, the term full, i.e. 100% will have to be paid, is made up of two halves. The chatzi nezek, as it like any of the previous gorings, plus the second chatzi nezek to make it into a nezek sholem payment. So Rashi says that kulon chayovin l'shalem ha'chatzi nezek shel ha'doas negicha shlishis bein kulam. V'tzad tamus mishalmim shnei edim ho'achronim she'idu alel. As far as the half that would represent the tam state that it had been up till now, that half will be paid by the last two witnesses that testified about the third goring. But as far as the second half of the payment that makes it into a nezek shalem, that all of these witnesses that were shown to be zomimim, that they all were trying to impose full payment on the owner, So now they have to pay Nezek Shalem. V'al zeh ne'emar, and regarding this, it says, V'asisem loy kasher zomam v'chulei. And you will do unto the false witnesses that which they were scheming to do to the defendant. That's the Tanaic source, and from this we want to analyze, based on this source, we want to achieve some clarity regarding Yudei Turo or Yudei Gavro. E Amris Yudei Turo Shapir. If you say that the testimony on the regarding the three gorings, the three testimonies concerning the three gorings is to establish the animal as Mu'ad Shapir, then everything works out. What do we mean by everything works out? We look at Rashi, E Amris Yudei Turo Bo'inon Shloshi Yomim, that in order to establish the shore as being Mu'ad, you need to have 3 days. What do we mean by 3 days? Testimony concerning gorings on 3 separate days. Avo Gavro, but as far as the owner is concerned, B'yom Echod Mi'ayid, on 1 day, he can be established as Mu'ad. Motzi L'ukma, we can set up this Tanaic source, Kishibo Kulon B'yom Echod, that all 6 men who are serving as witnesses at 3 times 2, 3 sets of witnesses, 2 in each set. So we can set up this case that was featured in the source. They all came on 1 day. Shevion Nizak Shlishi Lahoidal Shlosh Nagilish Shlosh Yamim. The 3rd victim of the goring brought all 3 sets of witnesses to testify about gorings, each one on a separate day. And as a result of this, the 1st set of witnesses, i.e. those witnesses that testified about the 1st goring, you might have said, well, how could they have known that the animal concerning which they're testifying was going to be a Mu'ad? After all, they're testifying about the 1st goring. And if they have no idea about the animal's Mu'ad status, then how in the world can the source tell us that they, the witnesses, will have to pay the 2nd Chatzi Nezek that we would call, they have to pay the Nezek Shalem? So with this interpretation that Yudei Tura is the purpose of the 3 days, we understand how these 3 sets of witnesses, even the 3rd set of witnesses, even the 1st set of witnesses can be held responsible for paying the Nezek Shalem. Why? Because the witnesses that testified about the 1st goring are brought into court by the victim of the 3rd goring. And because of this, we can imagine the 1st set of witnesses also having a connection to the Mu'ad status of the animal, hence participate in paying the full damages. Shiraglayim ledovar, it appears very likely. Raglayim Dover is an expression, meaning there it appears very likely to the Shavye Mu'ad Asu, that these 3 sets of witnesses are coming to court in order to establish the animal as a Mu'ad. The Lo Motsu Lemeimar, that under such circumstances the 1st set of witnesses could not say, Anan Lechive Palga Nisko Asinon, we came to impose a chatzi nezek payment on the owner of the animal, and not to establish it as a mu'ad. Devadai, and now what we have to bear in mind is that what we just said is something that they cannot argue. They can't get off the hook. from a responsibility and obligation to pay the nezek sholem. Why can they not get off the hook? Devadai hani yadi pahani. These first set of witnesses were definitely aware of the two subsequent testimonies that would be made concerning two additional gorings. Devadai, reading that again, Devadai yahani yadi bahani. They certainly are aware, the first set of witnesses are certainly aware of the other witnesses. Sherei bal negicha shlishis hevion. The victim of the third goring, so it's a third party, third victim, is bringing in witnesses that saw the first goring. Uma lo l'negicha surishonos elokidei liado ubahadi hadodi osu. Baal Negicha Shlishis, the victim of the third goring, what connection does he have with the first gorings? And yet he, the owner of the third victim of the goring, is bringing into court the witnesses that testified about the first goring. So it shows us that the first witnesses were well aware of the animal becoming a muad. Elo kidei liado ubahadi hadodi osu. Their appearance was there in order to establish the animal as a muad, and the three sets of witnesses had come into the court together. So all of this is an explanation how the source reads smoothly according to the Mandomar Yudei Tura. We continue in the Gemara on Omid Beis. Elo e amris lude gavra. If the purpose of the 3 days of the Torah regarding a shor muad is to establish the owner as muad, and Rashi adds very importantly, and on each goring you have to have a separate testimony. Rashi on the top line says, "Ela yamris yudei gavra bo'inon shloshi yomim." The requirement of the Torah of 3 days is to establish the owner as muad. V'al kol negicha u'negicha tzorach lahoyed biyomei, and regarding each goring, there has to be testimony concerning that goring on the day that it took place. V'lo mishkachas lo demashvu le muad ela b'shloisha yomim. You will not be able to establish the animal as muad unless you have 3 days. And therefore, we turn back to the Gemara with the following claim, that if you say, Yudei Gavra, Leimru Hanoch Kamoi, the first set of witnesses, could they not say, Anan mi havu yinon basur shloshe yoimi osu hani umyadi lei? Could we have known that after 3 days, more witnesses would show up, making the animal into a muad? Do not lose sight of the fact that the first set of witnesses, when the muad status is established, and they're shown to be zoymimim, they have to pay for the muad payment, the nezek shalem. The only way to appreciate that is by saying, as we said before, the Yudei Tura, and the three sets of witnesses were brought in on 1 day. So each one knew about the other, and hence the excuse, how could we have known that it was going to become a muad, becomes irrelevant. Now, we continue in the Gemara. Omar Ravashi. Amriso l'shmeitza kamei d'Rav Kahana. I said over this teaching to Rav Kahana, namely that the Tanaic source reads much more smoothly according to the opinion of Yudei Tura. But if you say Yudei Gavra, so then we have the problem we mentioned above concerning how is it that we can impose any payment obligation on the witnesses concerning the first goring. Omar Ravashi, Amriso Lishmaitse Kamed Rav Kahana Vyomar Li. And Rav Kahana said to me, Ulyude Tura Mi Nicha. And in order to establish the, or in other words, the 3 days of the Torah, in order to establish the animal as Muad, do things work out so well? The Lemru Hanach Basroi, could it not be that the third set of witnesses could say, Anan Mino Yadinon Dechol Dekoi Beidino Lasude Beturo Koasu? How could we possibly know that everyone standing in the Beis Din is coming to testify about the ox? Anan Lichuve Gavra Palkanisko Asinon. We came to testify about a goring to obligate the owner of the goring animal to pay chatzi nezek. So, with regard to the opinion that Yehudei Tura, as the Gemara says, is it really so smooth? Could it not be that the last set of witnesses, the ones that are coming to testify about the third goring, as far as they are concerned, they could say, how do we know, in other words, before we can obligate them to participate in paying the Nezek Sholem, could they not say, how do we know that everyone standing in Beis Din is coming to testify about the ox? All we intended to do is to come and testify about this man's ox having gored and make him pay half Nezek. Why, when we establish them to be Edim Zoymimim, do they have to participate in paying the Nezek Sholem along with the first two sets of witnesses? So the simple question is, how is it that the third set of witnesses is aware that they are coming to make the Shor a Shor Hamuad? Now, we answer this, and as far as the Rashi approach to the Gemara, there are three approaches, three answers. Number one, and as we go through the Gemara, let's note Rashi's explanation along with it. So number one, Deka Meramzi Remuzi, from the word remez. Rashi says, Hochi Garsin Deka Meramzi Remuzi Klomar, Yudei Tura Nicha. As far as the opinion of Yudei Tura, things are okay. Uv'yom Echad, the three sets of witnesses, in fact, came on one day. All that the Torah requires is that the individual testimony concerns a goring that took place, each one on a separate day. But the actual act of testifying, the three witnesses can testify on one day. Ukagon de komaramzi remuzi kat eide rishona li eide kat shlishis. The first set of witnesses made some kind of motion, hinting motion. That's meramzi remuzi. So the first set of witnesses was merames to the third set of witnesses, she ya'idu, that they should testify. Hilkoch vaday achronim nami lekach niskavnu. So the third set of witnesses were aware of the first set of witnesses. So they were, the third set of witnesses were aware of an original set of witnesses, so that they are part of a larger picture and not coming simply to Mechayev to obligate half Nezek. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar. We're back in the Gemara. Rav Ashi Omar, Kishebo'u Ritzufim. The three sets of witnesses that came on one day, they came one right after the other. And hence, the Yudei Tura, things are okay. The third set of witnesses came along with the first two sets of witnesses. So they were aware, the third set of witnesses were aware that they were part of a bigger picture of additional goings that would be testified upon. Hence, they were aware that they were part of making this animal into a shor hamud. And hence, when discovered to be zoymimim, when all three sets are discovered to be zoymimim, they have to pay, participate in the full damage payment. And in the Gemara number 3, Ravina Omar, b'makirin baal hashor, v'ein makirin es hashor. And Rashi says, v'ein makirin es hashor, we're talking about witnesses that are aware of the owner having a damaging animal, but they are not familiar with the actual animal that did the damage. Rashi says, "Vein makirin es hashor hilchach lo niskavnu elo la'asoso muad." Their testimony then could only have been to establish the ox as muad. They were aware of the testimony of two previous sets of witnesses, the Mishum Chatzi Nezek, that those original testimonies were to impose a half damage payment. Kevon Dien Makirin Es Ashor. Let me read that again. Demishum chatzi nezek. As far as the chatzi nezek payment, kevon de'ein makirin es hashor lo asu misadi. They wouldn't come to testify in order to mechayev to obligate a half nezek payment, being that they don't recognize the animal that did the goring. They wouldn't therefore have come to testify. Why? The tam eino mishale melem elamigufo. The tam animal that pays chatzi nezek pays only from the value of the animal itself. So you have to know which animal did the damage. So how can you have witnesses coming and testifying concerning the man, the owner, having in his herd a goring animal when they don't recognize the very animal that did the goring? So what's their purpose? We explained that their purpose was to establish the animal in his herd as being a mu'ad, a goring animal. Avol Yudei Gavra lo nicha, but as far as the approach that says that the 3 days of the Torah is to establish the owner as being mu'ad, that does not figure in smoothly. The Motsu Lameimar Kamoi, the first set of witnesses, can say, what, you expect us, when discovered to be Zoymimim, to participate in the full damage? Miyadinan de Labosu Tloso Yoimi Osu Hani Umiyadi Le? How could we know that after 3 days, a third set of witnesses would come in to make the animal muad? Anala Palgo Nisko Asinon. We, the first set of witnesses, came only to impose half damage payment. That was all our intent. And if that's what the witness's attempt was, they cannot be expected to participate in full damage payment when their intent and testimony was only to establish half damage payment. Veleko lemeimar behu ein makirin es hashor liadi osu. Concerning the first set of witnesses, you can't even begin to say that they are people that are not familiar with the animal itself and came to make it a mu'ad. That first set of witnesses, how could they have known that this animal, that the animal concerning whom they're testifying was going to gore a second time and a third time? They're not prophets. They're not future seers. So as we have seen in the Gemara, three approaches that will say justify the Yude Tura approach, and as far as the third set of witnesses claiming that they were not aware of the previous two testimonies, we answered in three different ways why that's not the case. The Gemara asks, if you have this, let's say this third set of witnesses that are makir, the owner of the animal, but they know who the owner is, but they don't know which animal did the goring. Elahechi miadile. How do they make it into a muad? Diamri, they simply testify. Tura nagchona islach bebakroch, iboy loch linturi lukule bakra. They testify thusly. You have a goring ox in your herd. You, sir, have to watch your entire herd. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the topic heading, Hamashasik Kabush Havero. A person incites his friend's dog, V'noshach Mishu Achir, Hayim Bala Kelev Hayev. And after being incited, the dog bites someone. And the question is, do we impose financial obligations on the owner of the dog? The Gemara. Ibaya Laho. Hamashasa Kabul Shechaveru B'chaveru Mahu. We'll use names for illustrative purposes. A fellow by the name of Levi incites Reuven's dog to bite Shimon. What's the din? Mishase Vadai Potter, the one who incited, is definitely exempt from paying damages because the inciter didn't do the actual damage. He was a causative factor in the damage that resulted. But as such, he's called a gorem or groma benazikin, and causative factors are not responsible in earthly courts. The Almighty and the Heavenly Court might have problems with this guy, but as far as extracting a money payment from him to compensate for damages, that far we do not go. Baal Kelev Mai, what about the owner of the dog? Two sides of analysis. Aleph, and you can see, squiggle underline, O Dilma, base. Mi Amrinon, Motsi Omerle, Ano Mai Avidnole. Can the owner of the dog claim innocence by saying, what did I do to him? O Dilma, Amrinon Le, or we tell him, the owner of the dog, Kevan Diyadis Bekalboch, Demishisi Le, Umishtisi. Since you knew you have a dog that when incited becomes incited and bites, Lo Iboyaloch Lashuye, you shouldn't have kept him around. You shouldn't have had a dog like that in public where someone could come and incite it. Omar Rabbi Zera, Toshma. Now you see triangles on the side under our Mivneh heading under the structural note that we indicate that these are nisyonos, these are attempts, lofiach the baal hakelev chayav, that the owner of the dog should be held accountable. Toshma, the quote from the Mishnah, the tam, in order for an animal to be established once again as tam, we said, shu atinoikis me mash mishin boi veinu negeach, that children could pet, handle the shor hamuad, and behold, it doesn't gore. Ha nogea chayav. However, if the animal would gore, so the owner of the animal is obligated to compensate. What do we see? We see that the owner of damaging animals who are incited, and we're associating the tinoikis mimashmishin, the children handling the animal or petting the animal, is the equivalent of inciting it. And we see that there is culpability on the part of the owner. The Gemara rejects this. Omar Abaye, mi kotoni, does it say in the source, nogach chayav? It doesn't say that. Dilma ha nogach. Could be that if the animal would gore, lo have tam ubahi negicha lo mechayev. All that we would conclude is that it doesn't become a tam again. It doesn't regain its status of being docile. However, that very negicha that resulted from the tinoikis mimashmishin, which we're associating with inciting, that does not obligate the owner to compensate. Toshma, so let's try again to conclude our question. Shisa bo es hakelev, she saw bo nachash. If a person incited a dog or a snake to bite, there is exemption. My lav, potur mishase v'chayav, baal kelev. Is it not so that the understanding is the inciter is exempt, but the owner of the dog that bit, he is obligated to compensate? So we see from here that when an outsider incites someone's animal to do damage, the owner of the animal is obligated to compensate, even though he himself didn't do anything. Lo, that's not the understanding. Amar, when you read this source, you should read it thusly. Amar, potor, af mishase. Even the inciter is exempt. And it goes without saying that the owner of the animal will be exempt. Omar Rova, im timtza lomar hamashase kalboi shel chaveroi b'chavero chayov. If you were to conclude that one who incites someone else's dog to bite a third party, the owner is obligated to compensate. What about this case? Shiseu hu ba'atzmo. The inciter incited someone's dog, and the dog bit the inciter himself. Potter, the owner of the dog, in this case, would be exempt. Mai taimo. Why? Answer, kol hamishane. Ubo achir vishino bo potter. This principle, if we were to translate it and give an approximate explanation, it states that if there's a double strangeness, a double unusual behavior, there is exemption. How do we apply that over here? Well, the inciter came along and incited a dog. That's something unusual. And the dog then turned around and bit the inciter. The dog biting is something unusual. So that you did something unusual, causing an unusual form of damage, that is not something that we impose punishment for, financial punishment, financial obligation to compensate. Omer lei Rav Papa l'Rava. Rav Papa informs Rava, trying to encourage Rava, by saying, Itmar mishmei de Reish Lakish kavaseich. You know that Reish Lakish, a great Amora from a previous generation, says, like you, Diomar Reish Lakish shtei poros b'rishus harabim. Reish Lakish describes a situation of two cows in a public thoroughfare. Achas revutza v'achas ma'aleches. One cow is crouching down, is lying in the middle of a public thoroughfare, which, by the way, is unusual. And another animal, another cow, is walking by, which is something that animals do in public thoroughfares. Uboato. And then there was a kicking. Now, the kicking on the part of an animal is unusual. Who kicked whom? Maleches biravutza. If the walking animal kicked the lying animal, ptura. There is exemption. Now we dashed on the line the word ptura because this is what Rava spoke about, an exemption. Revutza b'maleches chayeves. If the animal lying there kicked the animal walking by, we would then hold the owner of the lying animal to compensate. But we focus on the first din, the aleph halacha. The walking animal kicked the animal that was lying down. So, as we said, for an animal to kick, that's unusual. And who did it kick? It kicked the animal that was lying down. That's also unusual. So that the rule that we saw, kol hamishane, ubo acher v'shina bo, is exempt, is something that Reish Lakish said a couple generations before Rava, and Rava himself said that Omar Lay, Rava says to Rapapa, I appreciate your efforts to strengthen my position. However, I don't agree. Ano behahi, I, regarding that case of the walking animal kicking the animal lying down, chiyuve mechayavno, I would have obligated the owner of the walking animal. Di amrinon lei, we tell him, ki islach reshusa lizguyalai, you have permission to walk over me. Liv utibi leslach reshusa, but to kick me, you don't have permission to kick me. And if you did, so then pay for it. And now we encounter a new Mishnah on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei, the topic heading. We have written Machlokes Tanoim Bekeren Brishus Hanizik. We'll see a Tanaic disagreement regarding the payment rate for an act of damage through Keren in the private domain of the victim. Rabbi Tarfon Nezik Shalem. Rabbi Tarfon holds that a Keren damage in a private domain, in the domain of the victim, full damages will have to pay, even though we're dealing with a shor tam, an animal that hasn't gored three times yet. And the Chachamim will tell you chatzi nezik, just like the rate of payment in of Karen in a public domain. The Mishnah. Shor hamazik b'shus hanizik ketzad. The case of a damaging animal in the private domain of the victim. What are examples of that? We should point out that this phrase, Shor hamazik b'shus hanizik, was discussed in the first perek, and it was mentioned on an earlier occasion that this phrase is a reference to damage done by Karen. So the Mishnah is asking, Shor hamazik b'shus hanizik, how is that manifest? So we say, nogach, goring, nogaf, a body shove, noshach, biting, rovatz, crouching down on vessels or on another creature, boat, kicking. Birshus harab mishalem chatzi nezek. If damage done in any of these derivatives of Karen happens in a public thoroughfare, half damage is paid. Birshus ha-nizak, if this transpires in the private domain of the victim, Rabbi Tarfon omer nezek sholem, v'chom omerim chatzi nezek. Rabbi Tarfon says that in a case like that, you pay full damage. The Chachamim say, chatzi nezek, just like we expected, just like was demanded in a Rishus HaRabim. Omar lohem Rabbi Tarfon. You'll see, in the course of this source, each one responds to the other. So here Rabbi Tarfon opens up the give and take and says, Uma b'mokim. Shehekal, now, Rabbi Tarfon, she must just go over the point. Rabbi Tarfon says that you're going to pay full damage for a first-time Karen offender if it happens in the private domain of the Nizak. And how does Rabbi Tarfon reach that conclusion? Uma b'mokim shehekal al hashen v'al arega b'shuz rabin shupoter. Mind you, in cases like Shane and Regel in a public thoroughfare. Shane, damage done through an animal deriving personal bodily pleasure from whatever it was destroying. And Regel, damage done through the animal's normal walking. And if they happen in a public domain, the owner of the animal is exempt. And nevertheless, hifmir aleihem b'rishus hanizik l'shalem nezek sholem. When it comes to Shane and Regel in a private domain, in the domain of the victim, full damages are paid. So, in the case of Shane and Regel, your starting off point is leniency in rishus harabim, imposition of penalty of punishment in Rishus HaNizik. Mokom Shehifmir al HaKer Rishus HaRab Mishalim Chatzi Nezik. In the case of Karen, we find greater stringency than we found by Shane and Regel, and so far as Karen in Rishus HaRabim has to pay half damage. Eino din shenachmir olav Rishus HaNizik l'shalem nezik shalem. Then all the more so, through Kavachomer logic, when it comes to Rishus HaNizik, which was an area of greater stringency, as we saw by Shane and Regel, certainly by Karen, you'll have to pay nezek shalim, full damages. Omru lo, the Rabbonan responded to Rabbi Tarfon and said, Dayo labo min adin lios kanidon. Let the derivative point be no stricter than the point of origin. And what does he mean? What do the Chachamim mean by that? Well, Rabbi Tarfon was deriving Karen in Rishus HaNizik from what we see in the public domain. And what do we see in the public domain? Ma b'Rishus HaRabim Chatzi Nezek. In the public domain, when Karen does damage, it pays half damage rates. What's the derivative? The Karen in Rishus HaNizik? Well, after Rishus HaNizik, Chatzi Nezek. So too, in the derivative point of Karen in the private domain can't be any greater than Karen payment in the original form, in Karen in Rishus HaRabim. Omar Lohem, Rabbi Tarfon says back, Afani, we continue at the top of Daf Chof Hei. Lo odun Karen mi Karen. I too am not going to derive Karen in a private domain from Karen in the public domain. If I were doing that, then I would agree that the Karen in the private domain is not going to be any greater than Karen in the public domain. It would be limited to Chatzi Nezek. But I wasn't deriving Karen in the private domain from Karen in the public domain. Ani Adun Karen Miregel. I will establish, I will conclude Karen from the laws pertaining to Regel as follows. Uma b'mokum shehekal al hashev al Regel. Bishus harabim. Hichmir b'Karen. Mind you, regarding Shein and Regel, where in a public domain we see leniency, but in a private domain we see stringency. Mokom shehichmir al hashein regel b'shus hanizik. In a case of shein and regel, in a private domain, we impose stringency. Eino din shenachmir b'keren. Then all the more so, we'll impose stringency with regard to the keren damage in the rishus hanizik. And with that logic, Rabbi Tarfon wants to conclude that Karen in Rishus HaNizik will pay full damages, just like you see Karen by Shane and Regel in a private domain paying full damages. Omru lo, the rabbis responded to Rabbi Tarfon, said, Dayo labo min adin lios kanidon. It is sufficient for the derived information to be no stricter than the original source. Ma b'Rishus HaRabim Chatzi Nezek, just like in the public domain, Karen pays only Chatzi Nezek, af b'Rishus HaNizak Chatzi Nezek. So too, in the private domain, Karen will pay no more than Chatzi Nezek. Rashi points out that even with regard to the second approach of Rabbi Tarfon, Rashi on the second line from Bab says, "Dayo labo min adin lios kanidon." The self ilav Karen b'rishus harabim. If not for the point that Karen in a public thoroughfare is chayev as opposed to Shane and Regel, lo mishtakachas tzad chomor. I wouldn't have been able to conclude anything concerning the more stringent side of things. So that after all is said and done, says the Rabbana, say the Rabbana to Rabbi Tarfon, that in order for you to come to your conclusion, you had to acknowledge Karen in Rishus Harabim. And since you have to acknowledge Karen in Rishus Harabim, the Karen in Rishus Hayochid can be no more stringent than the source, hence limited to Chatzi Nezek. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.